world missions. I was on the edge of my seat just listening. Many things I couldn't, my brain could not catch up. But my heart wanted to just offer itself over and over to God for whatever God wants to do. This man is going to talk about advancing his kingdom like no other. I want for you to open your hearts to our mentor, our pastor, Dr. Junes Cusar.
Please go ahead and take your seats. Thank you. All right. Of course, there's no excuse, but apologize for the 30-minute late. I'm not used to traffic anymore in my life. I drive fast for as long as it's not so congested. And I have other things I had to do. It's a matter of priority. And so I apologize to you for this late start. I do wanted to let you know I have many more classes with you. And as I reflect this morning and ask how many students there were, they said there were 72. I don't know if attendance is all complete, but I was still hoping maybe we could cut the class in two. So we don't want to turn this into a lecture. It's really good to have a highly interactive, maybe half the size of this. So in second thoughts, as I was thinking about it, maybe we could do it in the future, maybe even break it apart. If there's any teacher in any of the core sessions who feel the same thing, then maybe we could do two split sessions, exchange the students. I don't mind doing it twice, but not four times. So for my sake, how many, again, here are School of World Missions? Again, please raise your hands. Or better still, why don't you stand up, look around, look to people that are sitting down. Can we give them all a big hand? Thank you. All right. You can go ahead and take your seats. The School of Campus Ministry, would you all please stand up and look around? So these are our School of Campus. Give them a big hand. All right. Go ahead and take your seats. And our School of Church Planting and Local Church Ministry. Could you all please stand up? Can we give this man, great guys, a big hand? Thank you. All right. Let me quickly, sorry, the template for the generic for the all four schools is not, but I was given the 2014 template for our School of World Missions. Anyway, this is my family, just to introduce myself. I wish I had the time to introduce myself to you. This year, we would have been married. We will be married 25 years this coming April. And again, if my wife was here this morning, she will tell you she's the happiest, most blessed woman on planet Earth. More blessed than Blessed Virgin Mary, no. See, great marriages don't just happen. You have to make it happen. It's a lot of hard work. It's not being lucky. Sometimes we wish we men that are married, we wish we just have an absolutely robotic, compliant wife who will just do everything you tell them to do. My wife is very strong, and it is more for me and building my character and making me the man of God that God wanted me to be. If I would have married somebody different, I don't think I would be that man that I am today. So my wife, in the sovereignty and the providence of God, completed me and made me what I am. And she's a very strong woman, and that's probably what I needed. And so God has blessed our marriage. I can honestly tell you, in 25 years, we're more in love. It's just like we were married yesterday. So in love, 25 years later. There are principles in all of this course. I'm teaching you vision and values. Every story, everything I teach you here are not lecture information. This will tell you why are we what we are today, whether that's my own personal life, my married life. These are deliberate. Everything I'm telling you are principles that led us to where we are today. And as new leaders, as young leaders, as our future leaders, and you are leaders now, but as leaders who will take on greater responsibilities and will be mentoring and will be raising up more leaders, it is very important that you understand our history. What are the building blocks that have defined us and what made us to be? I love studying movements, organization, And in that sense, even to the smallest things, even at an individual, what made this guy very powerful? I want to know. I want to dissect because I wanted to learn. If an individual failed, if his marriage failed, I want to know what led to that failure. So I can not only avoid it, but equip and warn other young married couple to avoid the same pitfall. When organizations flourish and they become phenomenal and they've achieved great things, I want to understand the building blocks that are solid, that are principles that will bring quick growth, but are not necessarily or essentially healthy. So I wanted to understand that. And if movements or organizations or church splits and leaders part ways, what are the factors that led to that? I train myself to think that way. And sometimes when I meet somebody, being fully aware of all these principles, I can pick out three or four that are self-destruct, that if they will not stop in just 2-3 years, they will be destroyed. And I can look at a church and look at a few principles. Some are tolerable. Some are just inferior strategies that what would take them only 1 year will take them 10 years to achieve a good result simply because they are not using wise and effective strategies. But I could pick out a lot of self-destruct principles. What good is a couple totally and madly in love in 10 years, but on the 15th year they split up? There were seeds that were unaddressed. There were seeds or principles that were not good. Do not be flattered by your successes in the early stage. You have to be very brutal. You have to be very unforgiving with little foxes that can spoil. These are the little things. Big sins don't happen overnight. They come in little compromises. I'm telling you this story to let you know, these are not good messages. These are stuff I walked out. I walked through in life. This is not easy. You have to swallow your pride. You have to embrace the Bible. You have to say yes to God, even when you don't feel like it. If you want great marriages, you have to lay down your life. How did the Lord Jesus put it? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did He love the church? He laid down His life. Now, some of you are single. These are tough talk. You know, many of us are married. We just stay married. After all, what can you do? Where can you go? So whether you are just on a okay level, but you can make your marriage on a good level, better level, but don't settle for anything than great level. Ministry is the same thing. Some of you are okay. You're not backsliding. You're just kind of going along, but you're not at your very best. I want to really challenge you. There's nothing worse in life than just doing things less than your very best. That's why the Bible tells us, whatever you do, you do all for the glory of God. That is what makes life exciting. Jesus Christ came to give us what? Life. And life more abundantly. Anything less than that, you are shortchanged. Amen? That's why if you're going through some depression or some struggles, deal with it. We have a bigger mission to accomplish in this life. The reason why we want you to be healthy as a Christian, healthy in your marriage, healthy in your relationship with your team, because there is a bigger world to win. We cannot use our energy and our implements and our strength to fight one another. We don't have time for that. But you know, when you look at churches, they're not even nowhere near any one of our churches. They are just small. They are just 300. But it's full of politics and fighting and all of that stuff. How can you even move forward? The devil don't even want to mind you because you will kill one another. You don't need the help of the devil. You will just do it yourselves. Remember this movement. With 800 plus full-time, maybe about 350, maybe half of that admin, half of that are ministers. We have no split in our ministry for 30 years. We will be 30 years this year. Do you think that's just being lucky, guys? You are absolutely naive to think that these are just going through life. These are deliberate building blocks you put because by nature we are selfish, self-centered, egoistic, independent, want to do our own thing. But if we want to be a part of a spiritual family, that's number one, a family, not an organization, but as a unit whose ultimate passion is to bring only honor to the name of God, not honor to our name, organization, movement, name of our leaders, but the name of Jesus, then all of us can align ourselves into that purpose, link arms, and we can move together as a unit together. Amen? So I just wanted to make that clear. Whatever stories I would allude to, both great stories and struggles and difficulties, and how we have been through all those and came out victorious, are deliberate to sow that seed, to let you know a bit of our history and the building blocks that have defined us. That is why I count it a great privilege, just even being able to be with you. Again, our leaders, both our current and our future leaders. Well, these are my, my daughter, Rachel. She just turned 18. She started to drive. I trained them to drive when they were 11, 12. My daughter was so scared. I said, no, I cannot drive. You will drive. My son will be 17 this March. And I'm believing God, stretching everything I could to get him a car so he drives too on his own. So all four of us can do about God's business and just be united together. Again, it's everyone's faith. I'm just setting you some examples. Some of you may not be as near, but, you know, that's okay. Every one of us, it's called an iron sharpens iron, and we charge and encourage each other's faith. When it comes to, now, there will be lots of things like that, for example. I don't know how you process that information. Well, you know, that's too much, you know. Listen to me. If we don't have, it's because we didn't dare to ask. We never had the audacity. And I know you can equate that in your culture and say, but it's so expensive. Is your God cheap in your culture? It's everyone's faith, whether that's starting with a laptop computer, whether it's getting a tablet. If you don't have faith to believe for little things like that, you will never have the faith to take your campus. I'm not saying that you just evaluate everything in light of little things. I'm just saying that you exercise your faith muscles. Amen? You know, one thing about this is these are little things that just digress me, but we'll get into the lesson in a moment. One of the struggles sometimes with our school administrations is even the paying full of the tuition in this class. There's always been seem like backlogs. Guys, that is not just a money problem. It's a character problem. It's a faith problem. It's very telling about what kind of a person you are. Of course, you can give all the excuses of how poor you are, but you don't have a poor God anymore. Amen? You need to have faith to see yourself. And when you see somebody blessed, that should inspire you to see if God can bless them, God can bless me too. Have you ever been so audacious to come to God and just like a father, not like, you know, a supervisor, a president of a company, and just coming in like an employee, but just as a son, a daughter, and just sharing your heart in a loving way, in an intimate way, and sharing it to Jesus, to the Father. Amen? Things like that. And I know you have many needs. I'm worse than you when I started. I did not come from a wealthy family. I come from a very middle-class family. I don't have an inheritance. It's one of those things, if you got married and you spent on your own, not a single money came from your family, but you're just blessed that they came, so it's not an indictment against them. I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying that we have very humble backgrounds. Some of you probably have a lot more wealthy. I didn't have cars. I have nothing, but I'll tell you what I have. I have a lot of faith. So what I have,